You had made a comment earlier when I asked about the Jax publication that there weren't any communications at that time in JBC.
There were for a while and they stopped, and presumably at that time there weren't, yeah.
Again, referring to John's paper, he talked about at one point when he was editor how difficult it was to even get communications from people. And he said that under your editorship, there's been an active encouragement of communications. They're now in the front instead of the back, and yeah, things like that.
And we're still doing that, and still actively, we're trying very hard to give even faster service to attract the communications. But here again, you're getting in, and we're trying very hard right now. We're having an announcement in the journal coming out in the April 25th issue, I think, on this. But here again, you get into this very difficult thing of what's very exciting to an author may not be to a reviewer, and you have to have very good insight to know what is or isn't exciting. I might say there's hardly a manuscript I get that doesn't have an accompanying letter saying, I hope you'll give this your most careful and rapid consideration. I wouldn't ask for this, except this does happen to be an extremely important piece of work. And I think the author really means it. And it's a matter of... So it's very hard to make that kind of judgment. Yeah. Now, we're getting enough communications, but we'd like to get some that are a little more, perhaps even more exciting. And that's... as I say, a very difficult conceptual thing, and one that, as you gather from the way I'm saying, that I'm not entirely happy with the concept. It's a very, very difficult concept, really.
Another comment from John's article is about one possibility is to put documentation that is of high interest to a few people, but of very limited interest to most people, in some remote
repository,
place,
repository. Yeah. We've done that in the past at that time. Then we went over to something, I don't know if you're familiar with the Oxford Dictionary, the one on microfilm, microtype.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that for a long time at the end of the article in mini print, we called it, that you could read with a magnifying glass. And that was really quite good, and I was in favor of it. The problem is that that's reproduced photographically. And when you go over the CD-ROM, that's not in the database, so it's not retrievable. So we've given that up for that reason. The material in a distant depository, that has not, it's too difficult to get it. Now, you could argue, except for this, what I was just saying, that the CD-ROM, of course, could contain that material. It wouldn't be retrievable, but you could perfectly well put it in and have it there. So that's something really for the future. I think most of our associate editors feel that it... And I think I have mixed feelings on it. Most of them feel that it's also used, it's not, we haven't discussed much, but the large size of the journal gives a problem for the editors to review that amount of material. So I think most of our associates felt that when you add to that mini print, and if people know it's going to go in a depository or in mini print, it's not going to be reviewed that well. And there are technical aspects, administrative aspects of a depository. You have not only have to write for it, but somebody has to pull it out, make a Xerox, or make a microfilm, none of which is inexpensive, when you think of the cost of labor. But these are interesting technical things that I think are worth, in the future, pursuing, and with the different technical developments, might be feasible. In other words, I could see all kinds of ways where, if now, even now, if things are on email, and I think I made the suggestion recently, not in an active way, but just for discussion, that this depository material could be deposited in, say, a bank that you reach by email, mm-hmm. that would not even be technically part of the journal. I mean, there are so many variations of that that you could think of, and I'm sure will be feasible, and that would, I mean, just like you, you can get your sequence from Gene Bank. If you had something in the depository, somebody could mm-hmm. could put it in there. So it's something I think we'll be actively pursuing. And again, we come back to what we were saying before about people being used to computers. I think the community is still not that used to using email and to completely cooperate and accept this, but I think that's just a matter of a short time, so that there's no reason why we couldn't deposit that material. Of course, this wouldn't hold for figures, you see, and so forth, at this point in the technology, but there again, we're just dealing with the way things go with very short time. Yeah.
A year after you became associate editor, Stein became ill.
Yeah, that was a very sad picture. I don't know how much you know.
All I know is that yeah. that's all I know.
Yeah, it was extremely sad. He developed Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is ascending paralysis, like a polio type thing. And usually it reverses and you get better. Very occasional cases it doesn't. And he was completely paralyzed from about mid-waist down for quite a few years. It was a very sad situation. And in fact, maybe it was a little high in his waist. I think it even included his arms. And very, very sad, because he was an extremely competent, good person. I always remember his being particularly unhappy, he said, because this had to happen to him just when protein science was developing with techniques and so many exciting things to do, and he was completely bedridden. Now, that was a terrible situation, really. He, just for the record, might mention that thing that the only... it's important to add that his wife was just wonderful during that period. She just kept him going over the years. She did a wonderful job, but it's still a very, very sad picture. Very sad.
So that, I guess, from, well, 71 you became editor-in-chief, so I'm assuming that Stein then realized that he could no longer. Is that when he retired, as resigned as?
Well, effectively, as you say, he became sick at that point, and then effectively he just couldn't do anything more, which is very sad. And then I think at some point he finally, several years later, because I was obviously wanted him to stay on in, you know, with the title, and so that so that's in that interim period. I don't remember how many years, probably it was about 3 years or so. I don't remember the timing, 2 or 3 years. But then eventually he felt insistent that he literally retired. It was very sad when he realized that that it was irreversible. Very sad.
When you took over the journal, then what goals did you have in mind? What did you see as the things you wanted to accomplish back in 70.
Oh, I think it's very simple, and there was nothing special. To a certain extent, it's like everything I've been saying. I didn't have any exciting goals except to publish the best biochemistry in the fairest way, and to keep on running the operation the way John Edsel did and Bill Stein did, and you know, to do the best you could at any individual time, and as new things came along, new techniques, to use them, but not in, as opposed to what some people might say, not in any broad, not with any broad concept of changing the, of changing the mission or the publication, but just to do what's best for science and biochemistry. Yeah, I mean, I think that's, and that's still the way I feel about it.
A very good testimonial to you and to the journal, I think. It's a good way of summing that up.
But I should say, when some, even if a small idea comes up that adds to it, as I say, it was really like the publications committee wanted, or the council mentioned mini reviews, or the CD-ROM. Well, it's exciting to be able to participate and to push that kind of thing. Yeah, but basically, I think the important thing is the publication of good science.
Yeah. Am I correct that JBC is the most cited journal now? I know in Chemical Abstracts they publish a list of the 1,000 most cited journals in chemical abstracts.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I have to look at the figure. I think it depends on which list you look. Certainly if you want the most cited, I think that probably would be. But if you divide it by the, which is, that's not entirely fair, if you divide it by the number of papers,
okay,
then it's way at the top. But I don't, and it depends on over what period of time you use. So, for example, if you, I don't know how it would, I just have to look at the figures. I should know them, but I know we're way at the top. But you have to see what, you see what you're comparing it with. Obviously, if you take a small number of, in a, anyway, we're really very much at the top. And also very interesting to me is that we are the most cited journal in the two most prestigious research-type clinical journals, namely the New England Journal and the Journal of Clinical Investigation, after their own journal. In other words, so we're either second or third, I've forgotten, in there, and I think that's quite, again,
yes,
from the background. But I ought to get those figures out. I should know them and send them up to you.
Okay.
Yeah, either that or, of course, it's in Philadelphia, you could probably get the,
I can
get them more easily.
Look them up.
But it's going to depend on exactly how you use it. I have the feeling that that with certain, depending on how you phrase it, the question, we're certainly way at the top, but on certain phraseologies, we may be second or third, you say. I mean, for example, I wouldn't be surprised that in a short interval, that PNAS might be a little, or a cell might be a little higher, but I just don't know. Anyway, we're way at the top, in that, and certainly in total, we're way at the top, but that's not entirely fair. But one thing we did do once, we went through, you know, people say, well, 90% of these articles are never in the scientific literature, are never quoted. You hear these things. They always come at some meeting to you when you can't respond. But we've looked through the JBC articles. Every one is quoted. We went through Science Citation Index on a random thing. Yeah, I mean to different degrees, but they're all quoted. And Well, I hope we've covered this aspect for you.
I was going to ask you if you have anything else you want to add at this point.
No, I didn't think I could talk this long, but I hope I'm anxious that the last part, I think, to have covered. I have the feeling we spent a little too much time, from my point of view, on the early part, but on the other hand...
As we said earlier, what we can do is when we see the transcript, decide what precipitate some more things we want to
cover. Well, as I say, the early part applies to me personally, and I think, except in a very indirect sense, I think that's a less interesting, to history or to science than the last part, particularly, because I'd like to believe that my contribution to the journal is a thing that really has a social impact.
Yes, yes.
I'd like to believe my research has too, but that's much more fun for me. You know? In fact, it's all fun for me, as you gather.
Yes, yes, that comes through very clearly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for spending the time.
Well, thank you for coming down. My goodness,
enjoy it. And
it's all of interest to me, and you have to listen to it. My goodness.
Well, I found it enjoyable.
Of course, again, not for the tape recorder, but I don't know if I was talking about psychiatric type session. You know, I had mentioned at medical school. Of course, I was quite interested in had some psychiatry courses, and as you're part of the routine.
Mm-hmm.
But the cartoon. That someone says to a psychiatrist, how can you spend all day listening to all this stuff? And the response was, who listens? <You know. laughs> Anyway, I hope I haven't bored you too much.
No, not at all. I've enjoyed it, and thank you again.
Well, thank you.